This is Whitley Strieber, and this promises to be one of the most extraordinary dreamlands I have ever listened to. I have been looking forward to listening to these two people talk together for a long, long time. Catherine Austin Fitz and Joseph Farrell, both of them colleagues, know each other well, are with us together today to talk about the breakaway civilization. Now, why do I think this is so important, so immediately relevant to our daily lives? Well, for one personal, very personal reason, and most of you listening to this program know what it is, there is an implant in my left ear. I'm going to just, for the next minute, go over why it has to be something from that level of reality or that world. It came into my ear in May of 1989, in the middle of the night. I was awakened by the crunching of gravel in the driveway. It was a warm night and the windows were open. I woke up immediately because that was the sound of an automobile approaching silently, and it was frightening. The next thing I knew, there was somebody standing in the hallway. Not aliens, no. Two people, a man and a woman. They came rushing toward me as I heard outside in the backyard a male voice say, "Condition red." Calm but intense male voice. The next thing I knew, I was lying on my side. I could not move. I could not see. And there was pressure being placed against the side of my head. The next morning, there was an array of electromagnetic phenomena in and around the house. The alarm system was still triggered, but the garage door was wide open. It proved to have an unexplainable magnetic field around the switch in the garage that the alarm man could not explain at all. There was more. There was a lot of static electricity. But then later that day, my ear began to hurt. It had a lump in it. I waited for a while. A year or two, actually, because I was scared to death to touch or have anything to do with this thing. It used to turn on. It would turn on. My ear would turn bright red. There would be a whining noise in my ear. And I didn't notice any mental effects of any kind, but this would happen from time to time. It actually happened in the office of Dr. William Mallow at the Southwest Research Institute in San Antonio, Texas. He saw this phenomenon occur with his own eyes, rushed me into a signals acquisition laboratory. They told me they couldn't acquire any signals from it. I don't know if that's true or not, because everything at the place at Southwest Research, most of it was classified, so I have no idea. Now, a doctor attempted to remove it. He's been on Coast with me. There's the videotape is available in the subscriber section of our website. When he tried to remove it, it proved to be a disc with cilia on it, living cilia on it, and it moved down into my earlobe from the pina, the top of my ear. He pulled out because he didn't know what to think of that. A couple of days later, it went back up to where it remains to this day. Put in by people. There we have it. Those people, in my opinion, were from the civilization that these two people, Catherine Austin Fitz and Joseph Farrell, probably collectively know more about than almost anybody else in the world. Catherine and Joseph, welcome to Dreamland.
Thanks for having us back.
Yes, Whitley, it's wonderful to be on. And I have to say, to be on with the two of you together, so I don't know, it's a little bit, if I was a musician, like being on with, you know, the Rolling Stones or something.
I have to tell you that being on with the two of you together is exactly the same for me. Joseph, let's start with you. If you could give us an overview of the breakaway civilization and what it means to you, because it's out there.
Right. Well, my approach, I kind of backed into this idea of the breakaway civilization, of course, through our colleague Richard Dolan, who wrote in the second of his UFO and National Security State volumes about the hypothesis that there could be a breakaway civilization with access to extremely exotic technologies and sophisticated technologies and techniques and so on. And he wrote that this was also formed in the Cold War matrix, and that dovetailed quite a bit with my own research about the Nazi black projects during World War II, and I came to the conclusion that all of this was related. And one of the things that I started to investigate way back when, but I finally wrote about it in a book called Covert Wars and Breakaway Civilizations, was, well, how are you going to finance all this? And I came to the conclusion that part of it had to have been financed on the basis of recovered Axis loot, financial fraud on an industrial scale, through what amounted to, in effect, Whitley, a hidden bond market, which greatly concerns me. I stumbled across the research of Sterling and Peggy Seagrave in their book Gold Warriors, where they talked about a particular bond scandal of the Tanaka government, which was huge. I mean, it was an absolutely huge system of fraudulent bonds that the Tanaka government actually sold. So I think, yes, the bottom line for me is, after World War II, the national security establishment has basically a threefold strategic problem that they're responding to: the communist bloc, whatever this independent group of Nazis were, and then finally, and most importantly, they had a big UFO problem that was self-evident, it was manifest, and they had to have concluded that humanity would have to, number one, kind of stalemate that situation, and number two, institute some long-term project to develop technologies that could demonstrate parity or near parity with UFO performance characteristics, and that's the origin of it for me.
So when you, let's just go back over this, what you just said, and talk briefly about some of the things that flashed past, one of them being, the first one that comes to mind, is the Nazi element that you referred to.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, the Nazi element, as far as I can tell, Whitley, was intimately related to their so-called Bell Project. I've spent a great deal of time in the books trying to reverse engineer not only what I think was the possible physics rationale behind the project, but also to kind of reverse engineer what I think happened to the project after World War II. Nick Cook and Igor Vitkovsky, the two that broke the story in the English language, were of the opinion that the project probably ended up in some American black project's research facility. I took a different tack in that I was able to connect details to the Argentine fusion project of Dr. Ronald Richter that Juan Perón exposed in 1951 at a press conference in Buenos Aires. And there were a number of detailed connections between that project and the Bell. For one thing, Richter had worked on a plasma project in Nazi Germany that sounds very suspiciously like the Bell. He worked on it at the Allgemeine Elektrizitätsgesellschaft, which was the German General Electric. That was, incidentally, the project that Vitkovsky had connected to that company in connection with the Bell. So in other words, we had a corporate connection there. There were connections in some of the concepts that Richter finally talked about to the U.S. Air Force that connected it with the Bell. So in other words, it looked to me like there was something going on in Argentina by way of a continuation of some sort of independent Nazi research into all of this avant-garde technology that they were investigating with the Bell.
I've often wondered, you know, I have my doubts about whether or not we're even dealing with aliens. But I have often wondered if the Bell Project wasn't something else entirely. For example, the Bell showing up all of those years later, it obviously, I think it's quite clear that it did, suggests some kind of movement through time, perhaps? Or could it be that using its physics, we broke through into another dimension and something tried to come out or is trying to come out and bite us?
Well, that could be. the Bell Project itself, from what Witkowski uncovered, all that the Bell did in his recounting of the story was it levitated. But interestingly enough, as I pointed out in Reich of the Black Sun, and even earlier in Giza Death Star Deployed, the Kecksburg object, the Kecksburg Acorn, has a number of very weird data set connections to the Bell. They're both of the same dimensions. They're both of the same relative shape. And in the case of the Kecksburg Bell, you had the story that was uncovered by Stan Gordon that this object was taken to Wright-Patterson Air Base, where they placed an order for ceramic bricks, which to me was an incredible coincidence. Yeah. If indeed
well,
it was,
let's say
that.
It was not a coincidence. How about
yeah,
that?
Exactly, because the Bell in Witkowski's recounting and reconstruction of the story was tested underground in a ceramic brick lined room. So you know you have a multitude of connection points there that seems to indicate to me that there might be a connection between the two, that they brought the technology to a greater pitch of development, and for whatever reason, the U.S. military and space community heard about it almost instantly. This is the peculiar fact about the Kecksburg story, and showed up there and carted off whatever it was that they recovered there. So at that point, yeah, I do think the Bell enters the American Black Projects world. As for time travel, you know, Pace Einstein, if you have any sort of ability to manipulate gravity, that instantaneously in his construction of the mathematics gives you an ability to manipulate time. And I think there is something to that, in that the Bell was tested with a radioactive material. So my rationalization there was, well, why would they do that? And one of the reasons would be that if you are experiencing any sort of very small time dilation effects with the device, one of the things that will happen is it will change the rates of radioactive decay of certain isotopes. So you could measure the field effect of the device by that means. So it's remotely possible that something like that was involved as well.
We're going to take a brief break, folks. When we get back, for those of you who are in the subscriber area, there will be no break. When we get back, we're going to be asking Catherine Austin Fitz about something very, very fascinating, about a whole world of hidden economics connected with this. Catherine Austin Fitz's website is Solari.com. Joseph Farrell's website is GizaDeathStar.com. Two of the most extraordinary people out there. They have broken the mold and gone beyond. They understand this world a lot better than it is conventionally understood. We'll be right back.
The key, the mystery, the wonder. Now in a powerful new edition from Tarcher Penguin, Whitley Strieber updates the thrilling story with new revelations. Even the master of the key's most incredible predictions are coming true. We've discovered that there are many universes besides our own. He predicted this in 1998. He described how intelligent machines could be built. We're doing it now. If you love the key, you need this new edition. And if you've never read it before, don't miss this beautiful book filled with true wisdom and true revelations. The key is unique in this world. Graham Hancock says, consider its messages and you'll find it has worked a kind of magic on you. The key. A selection of the Quality Paperback Book Club, the Book of the Month Club, and the One Spirit Book Club. Available in bookstores everywhere and online in all ebook format.
Recent dramatic weather changes have proved the master of the key is right about climate. Don't miss the key. Get it today. And here's a great deal for you non-subscribers. Subscribe to unknowncountry.com between now and December the 21st for 1 year or more, and you will get absolutely free an autographed copy of the original key, autographed by me, a collector's item if ever there was one, beautifully produced. This is the original key. Do not miss this offer. There will never be any more printed. And we need you at unknowncountry.com. We need you to get out there and click that subscribe tab and sign up. And I'll tell you something that I know and that you probably don't because you're not a subscriber. You need us. Think of how often you come here. We can't do it without you. Subscribe today. Get your free collector's edition of The Key. We're talking to Catherine Austin Fitz and Joseph Farrell. Before we left the air, Joseph outlined a number of areas of activity involving UFOs, the Nazi Bell, and other activities which would cost an enormous amount of money. Now, many years ago, when I was involved briefly with some people from the United States Senate, I used to tell them if they wanted to find out what was going on, follow the money. And they did. And some members of the United States Congress joined them. And they discovered to their amazement that there were various bases that appeared to be military bases that were not, in fact, on the rosters of any military organization. And they did not know where the people in these bases were being paid from. They appeared to be receiving United States Treasury checks, but this was not the case. That's only what they looked like. Now, Catherine, I have a feeling you might be able to illuminate this little dark corner quite a bit.
Well, I started looking into that corner as a result of following the money as well. And what happened, I was very interested in the health and well-being of places. And what I believed, Whitley, long ago was that the current financial wealth on planet Earth was really a very small portion of what it could be. You know, sort of think in financial terms, we were not optimizing or managing our resources well. And I grew up in a neighborhood that was destroyed by mortgage fraud and narcotics trafficking. And I was very curious, well, why can't we reverse that? And it led to me working in the Bush administration. I was Assistant Secretary of Housing and diving deeply into what was causing the government money to be spent in sort of very negative, wasteful ways. And I got onto the idea, you know, markets to work need transparency. And so I became very enamored of what relational database technology and the internet could do to bring transparency to, you know, just as we have environmental ecosystems, we have financial ecosystems. And part of optimizing wealth is aligning the health and well-being of our environmental ecosystems and living things with financial wealth and financial ecosystems, if you will. So I was all gung-ho. I left the Bush administration and started a company that would use GIS software to map out financial flows in places. And what I discovered was that if you were free to just optimize both government and private investment in a way that realigned environmental ecosystems with financial ecosystems, you could create massively explosive wealth. And that's before I started to discover all the technology that you could also was available and you could combine with that. And of course, those changes were not allowed to be implemented. I ended up going down the rabbit hole because the databases and software tools we built that sort of showed this were seized by the government and stolen. And what I discovered was that there is an enormous amount of both government and private money that is literally disappearing down the hole. Imagine, if you will, as if the whole planet was being organized and run to produce a tithe. And you can call it, Joseph has done some great speeches on the hidden system of finance and the sort of hidden bond market. I talk about the black budget, but you know, between the hidden system of finance and the black budget and covert and organized crime cash flows, we're watching an economy being run to produce enormous amounts of funds that are literally disappearing into a non-transparent, you know, behind a one-way mirror. And what is extraordinary is not only how much money it is, but the dysfunction it causes to the rest of the economy, because we have an entire overt economy and overt financial system where everybody's pretending that this isn't happening.
Right. And it's completely invisible on the overt level, too.
Well, it's remarkable. You know, I've studied very carefully how they've managed to organize, whether it's an economy in a town or a city or a county. You know, they've managed to organize the economy so that, you know, the lion's share of the economy is absolutely invisible. It's quite an extraordinary feat, and of course many of these operations are invisible as well. So but the reality is that the lies of what's going on are almost as expensive financially as the money that's disappearing. Because when you try and run an economy, when you try and run a household, when you try and run a budget, when you try and run a business, when you try and run your personal savings and investments, and everything around you is full of what I call material emissions, and you don't have a basic map of financial reality and economic reality, you're in real trouble. And one of the reasons that you know, I have searched out and found Joseph and other people like Richard Dolan and yourselves is, you know, if I as a financial person am going to make sense of the financial system and the economy, a bigger and bigger portion of the economy is certainly organized around these phenomena and driven by these phenomena, not to mention that these cash flows, Whitley, have financed the most powerful technology available on the planet, and he who controls that technology controls the world.
Now, and when you say which technology are you referring to, or should I ask Joseph?
Joseph, I'll lob it to you, Joseph.
Well, before you answer, Joseph, we got to take a break.
Sure.
Okay. Joseph Farrell's website, GizaDeathStar.com, Catherine Austin Fitt's website, Solari.com. Don't miss either one of them. Keep up with them. Go and explore these sites. There are plenty of ways for you to become involved in both websites and in both authors, and it's important that you do so. We'll be right back.
Whitley and Ann Streber's new book, Miraculous Journey, is well on its way to becoming a bestseller. One reader after another has found hope and inspiration in the pages of this deeply moving book, which has over 20 five-star reviews on Amazon.com. From reader Martin Taylor, a book to savor. Like much of the Streber's work, this is a very moving read, and I find myself smiling as much as holding back tears. From Melissa Latimer, this is a beautiful, hopeful story of the power of love in the face of life-changing health problems. From Raven Dana, this book is moving, instructive, and most of all, a beautiful testament to the power of love. From Catherine Cook, the authors guide us through their dark night of the soul with beautiful prose and truly inspiring insights that leave the reader feeling hope and joy. Reader after reader has taken Miraculous Journey into their heart, and you will too.
And Miraculous Journey is now available in hardcover and softcover on Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com and in electronic format wherever ebooks are sold. Get a copy today. You won't be sorry. This has been a life-changing book for me and Anne, and I believe it will be for you, too. Get a copy today. Don't pass it by.
Whitley and Anne Streber's new book, Miraculous Journey, is well on its way to becoming a classic. One reader after another has found hope and inspiration in the pages of this deeply moving book, which has over 25 star reviews on Amazon.com. From reader Martin Taylor, a book to savor. Like much of the Streber's work, this is a very moving read, and I find myself smiling as much as holding back tears. From Melissa Latimer, this is a beautiful, hopeful story of the power of love in the face of life-changing health problems. From Raven Dana, this book is moving, instructive, and most of all, a beautiful testament to the power of love. And from Catherine Cook, the authors guide us through their dark night of the soul with beautiful prose and truly inspiring insights that leave the reader feeling hope and joy. Reader after reader has taken Miraculous Journey into their heart, and you will too. Available wherever electronic books are sold for just $4.99.
Now also available from Amazon and Barnes & Noble in hardcover and softcover. And here's a great deal for you non-subscribers. Subscribe to unknowncountry.com between now and December the 21st for 1 year or more, and you will get absolutely free an autographed copy of the original key, autographed by me, a collector's item if ever there was one, beautifully produced. This is the original key. Do not miss this offer. There will never be any more printed. And we need you at unknowncountry.com. We need you to get out there and click that subscribe tab and sign up. And I'll tell you something that I know and that you probably don't because you're not a subscriber. You need us. Think of how often you come here. We can't do it without you. Subscribe today. Get your free collector's edition of The Key. We're talking to Catherine Austin Fitts and Joseph Farrell about the breakaway civilization, its function, and its finance. And just before we left the air, Joseph was about to talk to us about about this enormously important technology that it is secretly financing.
Well, I think, Whitley, we're dealing with a whole variety of technologies, to be quite frank with you. Let's look at the implant that you described.
Right, in my ear.
In your ear. Clearly, this is some sort of perhaps biometric telemetry technology.
It was partly alive. When it was examined by a pathologist, he said it had the cilia on it were motile. They were alive. He'd never seen anything like it. And they were based in a metallic base. And also I didn't mention this, it went into my ear without the slightest sign of a scar. There was only a red lump there.
Yep. Yeah, clearly they've developed combination type technologies that rely on biological processes as well as ordinary mechanical and electromagnetic processes. So that would be obviously an expensive technology to develop. Normally we also think of exotic propulsion technologies. We certainly know, Whitley, of the work of Thomas Townsend Brown. I covered a lot of that in Covert Wars and Clash of Civilizations, demonstrating that he actually ended up at the period of the mid-1950s onward, doing various work for classified projects, and had a connection to Lockheed Martin, incidentally. And that, plus the statements of Ben Rich about finding an error in the equations, and now we have the technology to take E.T. home, the work of Mark McCandlish that many of your audience would be familiar with the alien reconstruction vehicle that he's been actively pursuing and trying to kind of reverse engineer the physics of that and describe the actual technologies involved. All of this, to my mind, indicates that they instituted right around 1947 with the National Security Act in the wake of Roswell and the Kenneth Arnold sightings and so on, indicates to me that they put into place a very long-term mega Manhattan project to develop a technological parity, or at least near parity, with what they were observing from UFO characteristics and performance. So that's going to require an enormous amount of money over a prolonged period of time, and this is what I backed into, and this is what Catherine backed into, and quite frankly, I think this is what Richard Dolan has.
Yes, and we're hoping, I'm hoping that I will be able to get Richard Dolan on the show at some point. And I'll have him listen to what we're talking about today, and we'll go with him from there when we're able to reach him. He was scheduled to be on this program. We simply can't reach him.
Whitley, let me give you a sense of the extraordinary extent of the financial issues, because I think it's, you know, it was certainly hard for me to understand, having run the Federal Housing Administration, how could all of this money be disappearing and me not know? And so oftentimes when people hear this, they say, how could this be going on and me not know? Since money started to go missing in size from the federal government, I was part of a group of people in the Bush administration who were able to pass laws requiring audited financial statements. And so a process began in 1995 where the government would report what's called its undocumentable adjustments. So let me explain what an undocumentable adjustment is. If you have a checking account and the balance in your checking account is $2,000 and the bank sends you a statement that says you have $500, rather than figure out where the difference came from, you just write undocumentable adjustment $1,500. And voila, you've balanced your checkbook. So the undocumentable adjustments and undocumentable transactions since 1995 when that process started are now up to $12 trillion.
Yeah, and I can remember right before 9/11, it was a rather large undocumentable adjustment that was mentioned in passing by the Secretary.
Rumsfeld,
right, exactly.
On September 10th, and said there's $2.3 trillion. That was in 1 year. So you had $1.1 trillion missing 1 year, $2.3 trillion missing. And then, you know, when everybody started to get onto that, Rumsfeld announced it, and the next day we had 9/11. And here's what was very interesting. President Bush recommended a $48 billion increase for DOD. Can you imagine? And, It was the following year, I went to a town hall meeting with a congressman who was on both the budget and defense appropriation subcommittee and said to him, Congressman, there's $3.3 trillion missing from the Department of Defense over the last 2 years. He said, yes, I know. And I said, what are you doing about it? And he said, nothing. There's nothing I can do.
Now, that's an incredible statement.
Let me give you another incredible statement. I was visiting that same summer with the chief of staff to the senator who runs the appropriations subcommittee for the 21 agencies, including HUD. Now, within the scheme of Washington, a senator who controls the appropriations subcommittee is the most powerful person, you know, arguably more powerful than OMB in the scheme of pecking orders of government money. And this was somebody I didn't know very well, and they said, what do you think is going on at HUD? Actually, it was the summer before, so it was Andrew Cuomo was still secretary. It was the summer before. I said, what do you think is going on at HUD? And I said, I don't know. What do you think is going on at HUD? And they looked me dead in the eye, and they said, HUD is being run as a criminal enterprise. Now, here's what's interesting. HUD is on a matrix structure, and you cannot run HUD as a criminal enterprise unless the Department of Justice, the New York Fed, the New York Fed member banks, the Treasury run it as a criminal enterprise. Now, I said to this person, I don't disagree, that summer the committee voted out a huge increase in HUD's appropriations.
My word. I mean, what you're saying, I mean, folks, are you really listening to this? I mean, this is incredible.
Well, remember, as we have developed a secret financial system, we have also developed, as a parallel, a secret slavery system. You know, people think of senators and congressmen as powerful, but when you're dealing with a breakaway civilization, remember, you're dealing with people who have the ability to kill with impunity. Okay,
right.
Look at the story you told. And so whether it's mind control technology, whether it's control files, whether it's the ability to blackmail or threaten or kill the people you love, or, you know, the ability to offer you all sorts of personnel benefits, we're literally talking about a civilization which can implement its will and has literally, even at the highest echelons of society, created a secret slavery system, which is part of servicing and running the secret financial system.
Right. Now, we're going to take a break we're coming to the end of the first half hour of Dreamland, and we're going to go on afterwards in an open conversation, which I'm going to start out with, and I have no idea whether or not either of you can answer this or would be able to approach it in some way, but I would like to see what you say. And that is, this thing has been in my ear for a long time. I wonder if I am under mind control or not. This is Whitley Strieber. This has been Dreamland. We are talking to Catherine Austin Fitz and Joseph Farrell. Catherine's website, Solari GizaDeathStar.com, Joseph's website, GizaDeathStar.com. Both of them have numerous avenues with which you can engage with them. Do so. It is important to your welfare and your right to understand the world in which you live. There is no reason a senator may be captured and enslaved by a hidden power. You do not need to be. You need to be active in defense of your freedom, not passive. They stand ready to help. Thank you very much for being with us, both of you, on Dreamland. Remember, folks, next week we're back with more on the breakaway civilization and Richard Dolan, the world's leading expert on just that, joins me, Catherine, and Joseph, and we go even deeper. Subscribers, stay with us. To do that, go to the special interview and click on the special interview. You'll find continuation of this extraordinary program. I ask them, if they were implanted, what would they do? Those of you who are leaving us on Dreamland, have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll see you next week with another powerful program.
You've been listening to Dreamland. Be sure to tune in again next week. Dreamland is brought to you by UnknownCountry.com and our family of subscribers. Our news editor is Ann Streber. Our science reporter is Linda Moulton Howe. Our webmaster is Daniel Stiegel. And I'm your Dreamland announcer, Brian Arnold. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.